From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour was made with the end of the recent effort to create a downtown Rochester BID, a business improvement district. The downtown BID had become the subject of a lot of heat, and at least four members of Rochester City Council had announced their opposition to it. Here's how WXXI's Brian Sharp described it recently, quote, "Backers of a downtown business improvement district have dropped the effort and are pivoting to support other revitalization efforts." In an email, the Partnership for Downtown Rochester wrote that there is not presently the political will and majority support needed from Rochester City Council to successfully establish a business improvement district. City Council member Willie Lightfoot recently switched positions, joining colleagues Mary Lupien, Stanley Martin, and Kim Smith in opposition. It was not immediately clear who else might have joined in tilting the balance, end quote. Yesterday on Connections, Rochester Mayor Malik Evans joined us, and I asked him this. Did you want to see a BID, Mayor?
I would have liked to, but I think that in order for it to work, you have to have broad-based community involvement. And if it just creates a big food fight, then you spend all your time fighting and not getting anything done. And as mayor, my job always is to try to bring people together, even people that don't want to be brought together. You know, and we have a BID at High Falls. Canandaigua has a BID. Cleveland has a BID. Baltimore has a BID. Washington, D.C. has a BID. So the question is how can you still have vibrancy in downtown without all the food fights? And we love food fights in the city. We just love it. I think you know, this has got to be one of the, you know, we're one of those cities where we say we want to collaborate and work together, but it's always a challenge to be able to do that. But we have to keep doing that if we're going to see progress.
That's Rochester Mayor Malik Evans yesterday on Connections. Now, the Rochester Downtown Development Corporation was leading the BID discussions. Their CEO, Galen Brooks, told WXXI, quote, "We've given this a really, really good go, but it just didn't seem to be materializing. And the reality is that downtown needs support today. So we've got to dig in and really be able to do the work to support it," end quote. As Brian Sharp notes, the focus now shifts to working, at least for them, on marketing events and activities and small business support. And if you're wondering how the movement for a BID had started, here's Sharp again. Quote, "All of this started back in 2018, when then Governor Andrew Cuomo committed $50 million to revitalize Rochester's riverfront. The money went to specific projects and for a management entity that would be responsible for programming, maintenance, and marketing. A later study determined a BID would be that entity," end quote. City Council President Miguel Melendez had issued the following statement. I'll read that now. Quote, "Today marked the end of our efforts to bring a business improvement district to downtown Rochester. That end also marks a new beginning for the future of our city's center. As a board member of the Partnership for Downtown Rochester, I would like to first acknowledge all of the community engagement efforts and divergent opinions offered in the business improvement district efforts and thank the team at RDDC for capturing valuable input that will be useful as we make decisions in the future. Clearly, there are many downtown residents, small business owners, artists, and members of the broader Rochester community who strongly believe in the vitality and promise of a strong downtown. That's why it's crucial that we now come together as a community to determine a new direction, one that creates secure jobs, supports a strong school system, and promotes safety in our streets, all while engaging and working with all the stakeholders who either call downtown home or engage in their livelihoods there. I'm challenging downtown residents, the city administration, and the downtown arts community, business owners, and community leaders to meet us at the table with ideas, plans, and dreams for a downtown that fights for equity, offers opportunity to those who need it, and creates a framework that will allow the center of the Flower City to blossom for everyone," end quote. The opponents of a BID had warned that it could contribute to inequality in Rochester in various ways, and they have celebrated the end of this effort. I want to say something at the outset of this conversation. This is not, obviously not the only conversation we've ever had about a Rochester BID, and it won't be the only conversation, whether it's a postmortem of sorts, but this isn't just a postmortem. This is about asking, what do we do now? What is the right way to find a way, as the mayor said, to collaboratively move forward? What should that look like? And what are the opportunities there? But I'm also interested in where some of those divisions cropped up. And some have been well publicized. But I thought it was interesting that an architect who we've known on this program for a number of years, Richard Rosen, goes to his neighborhood coffee shop, his favorite coffee shop, Ugly Duck. I share his passion for Ugly Duck Coffee. He's got good taste in coffee. And he happens to disagree with the small business owner of Ugly Duck Coffee, Rory Van Grohl, on the issue of a BID. And I thought, can we model that civility, even if we're blunt or direct with each other, on the air here, to at least hear that interesting conversation and then look forward and say, okay, are you going to do next year? So if you're waiting for different conversations to happen on this program, they will. There will be a lot. We will talk to different groups. There is a whole coalition that is working on different ideas, and they will all be at this table eventually on different days, sometimes together and sometimes on their own. So that will be coming up here. Let me welcome Mitch Gruber, is a member of Rochester City Council who was never really sort of officially declared. I think was probably just waiting for more information. Is that fair? Where were you as a member of City Council on a bid?
Well, first of all, thanks for having
me. Yeah,
it's
great to have you.
And I appreciate joining Richard and Rory, both of whom I know and respect, and look forward to a thoughtful conversation, which don't always get to happen these days, so I'm looking forward to it. In terms of your question, no. I mean, my job as a city council member, like I think all of council's jobs was to wait until there was a final plan presented to us and evaluate appropriately, and there was never a final plan presented to us.
Never got there. Let me welcome Richard and Rory. Rory Van Grohl, owner and operator of Ugly Duck Coffee. Welcome back to the program. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Richard Rosen is an architect and I think a member of that neighborhood now, aren't you, sir?
I'm the president of the Neighborhood Association. This is the end of my two-year term.
Oh.
And I can't call myself an architect because I retired.
You're a retired architect.
License, yes.
And you're giving up the absolute power,
yes,
that you have wielded over Grove City. Welcome. Thank you for being here, Richard. Let me just start with this here. You know, Mitch makes an important point. The end of this process, at least in this iteration, means that a final proposal never got to you at council. Was it close? Was it your expectation? If we would have talked 6 weeks ago, did you and council members expect that there would at least be eventually a vote on a bid?
I certainly did. Mm-hmm. And I did not expect, I'll just say separately, I think that the argument by RDDC that there was not adequate political will or support of council was, sorry to be blunt here, but just lazy scapegoating. I think that RDDC really struggled to get the support of small business owners like Rory, but a lot of others who I talked to across the community. I know they had a number of issues figuring out what the right solution was with organized labor, which I believe Channel 8 recently reported on. And I know a little bit less about that. I could speak more to the small business side of things. And instead of being able to address both of those things head on and come to a final proposal that was presented, they said, we're not even going to bother, and then blamed a lack of political will, which I think is just a scapegoat.
Okay. And when it comes to small businesses, and we'll get Rory's perspective in a moment here, but when you say, hey, obviously it's not just Rory. Rory's not here to speak for an entire coalition or community. He's giving his take on it. Richard is not speaking for everyone who wanted a bid. He's giving his take on it. Mitch is not here speaking for all of council. He's talking as a member of council. But when you think about multiple small business owners and you think about RDDC's statement, do you view it as a failure to get more people on board then?
Yeah, if you don't mind, let me back up for
just
a second.
Sure.
So, and I'll try to keep my comments pretty brief because I know you mostly want to hear from Rory and Richard. But when RDDC first started working on the bid formally, and you know, they probably sat down with every council member to have a conversation and see, you know, what they thought and where they thought this should land. My recommendations to RDDC leadership was, focus first and foremost on the small businesses. And I gave them a number of small businesses to contact, even made introductions to people, and told them at the end of the day, you want small businesses to raise their hand and say, this is something we really want. This is something that's going to help our business at a time where, you know, we don't have as much foot traffic as we probably want as a downtown community, generally speaking. That was 2 years ago, a year and a half ago, or something like that. I had multiple individual conversations, but I think what really made it clear that RDDC had not done that work effectively is that council received a letter, a petition, I don't know, Rory, was it maybe 2 months ago or 3 months ago or something, signed by 30 small business owners, including Ugly Duck, and many of the other ones who I had recommended RDDC connect with, saying, we don't really know what's going on with it. It wasn't a full-on, we don't want the bid. To my recollection, it was more, we don't really understand what's going on. This is moving too fast. Let's slow down. But it was clearly an indication that at that particular moment, 30 small businesses downtown did not support the bid. So my reflection on that to RDDC leadership, the next time they asked for a conversation was, I'm not particularly interested in a conversation. I'm interested in you demonstrating that there's support by small businesses. And so either that means those 30 small businesses who signed, they needed to demonstrate that was a small minority of businesses and there were 100 who were supportive of it, or they had to answer the questions, in the letter and make people like Rory feel like he was being heard and that he was excited about it. They didn't either, and they eventually said, we're not interested in pursuing this anymore. So I don't know where it landed, if it's because they couldn't functionally do the work or if it's because there were business owners, like maybe Rory was already dug in and was not moving on it. That's not the Rory I know, so I would imagine that there could be conversations to be had, but they didn't happen. Let me just say one last thing about it. There were some businesses, and I'm not going to name names. I don't think it's appropriate for me to do, but there were some businesses who I specifically recommended that RDDC speak to, who signed off on the letter saying we're not supportive of it right now, who concurrently with that had sent me emails regularly saying we need help with the city on things like garbage pickup, parking is an issue on our street. And so at the end of the day, if RDDC did not convince those small business owners that they were going to help with things like garbage pickup and parking, then they failed in their mission.
Rory Van Grohl, as the proprietor and the operator of Ugly Duck Coffee, a small business, your hesitation or concern starts with what? Take me through your thought process on the bid.
I mean, I think first initially hearing about it, it was kind of this thing that was out there. And it was like, what is this? There was no clear communication or transparency about what it was.
Most human beings have never heard of a bid, you mean?
Right. Just knowing what that was, what it entailed, it was kind of like this like shadow that was out there. And so for, you know, I think Mitch said a couple years prior, it was presented to them, but as it was out there, but it was like, okay, what does this do? What is this? And there was an unknown. And I think the first time that there was like some sort of legitimacy or even border put around it, it was November, December of this past year during the holiday season when there was an input session where every small business owner is strapped or struggling to find time to support their business, let alone get out of their business to voice an opinion on a bid or anything for that matter. So I think that was just a poorly planned input session group. And I think it was very insular. There wasn't much communication. Our building owner had no idea what was going on, and it was a very property owner driven thing. And so he was also like, I don't know what's going on. I wasn't contacted. And so that just left me very wary. And there's a lot of unknown, like, who is it supporting? Is it a small business, like Mitch said? Like, you know, I wasn't reached out directly about the bid, but about other things. And they were always kind of like, I think, gathering information, but not directly saying, hey, this is what we're doing, this is what we're activating, until, I found out more information. I was like, I don't support this. This is not transparent. It seems funny to me, like I don't value what they're putting forth, and it seems redundant.
If RDDC had popped into the shop and said, hey, give us a 15-minute window, beginning or end of a day that is easier for you, we'll come in and we'll just lay out sort of the structural function of how this would look, and then we'll try to follow up via email and answer any questions you have. Would that have helped you?
Yes and no. So it kind of happened. So Richard organized a neighborhood meeting with the GPA and invited me. And so I went there, and Galen Brooks was also there. And then after that meeting,
Galen Brooks from RDDC. Yep.
Yep. We met individually one-on-one and talked about things, talked about concerns, talked about what that initiative might be, how it might affect me as a small business owner in the bid district. And I got to raise some of those concerns.
Okay.
Respectfully, and it was a good conversation. I just don't think we were aligned in what we thought downtown Rochester needs.
Okay, and then, can you describe, one issue was transparency, another was confusion about what it would be. To the extent that you felt like you did come to understand it, what did you not like about it?
I didn't like that it seemed very undemocratic. So you have this board of folks that are on the bid committee, and they have to be majority property owners. And that could be a parking lot, that could be a building. Each of those, each property that you own, that's how many votes you get. And so to have a seat at the table, you get so-and-so votes. And so what I came to understand is that 15 individuals have about, I think, like 47% of that property within the district. So it just seemed like a very undemocratic way of doing things in a downtown.
An over-concentration of voting authority or power in the hands of a small number.
Yeah.
As you saw.
In a privatization aspect of it.
Okay. Were there good aspects of it? Were there things that you said, hey, I understand the goal here. There's some things that could be good.
Yeah. Like, first and foremost, we all love Rochester and we want Rochester to be in a better place. I think everyone at this table and that joins in these conversations wants Rochester to thrive and be a better place. Like, and maybe we have different visions about it, and I understand that. I think, you know, ultimately, I think safety is a concern for folks that are living downtown. That's something that I hear not necessarily from folks there, but also from folks in that live in the neighborhood, like the GPA and the Hinge neighborhood associations. Like, I hear that you know, safety is a concern, and I can respect that as a conversation. How can we make the neighborhoods safer or downtown safer for people? How can we vitalize it? How can we bring people downtown? How can we energize? Like, those are conversations that we all have. But something I want to lean into is something that I hear the mayor say often is we have 10,000 people downtown, and that's the most people living downtown that we've had ever. And that's what I hear leaning into. And that's without a bid. That's without that. And so if we are doing making those steps and those positive things moving forward, why can't we build on that and really keep that ball rolling?
All right, Richard Rosen, what was the impetus of the interest in this to begin with for you?
Well, I'd rather reply to the last comment you made. Last things first, for people remember.
You better
what
talk
they
into
were.
Your microphone, not at Rory.
Okay.
Be cordial, Richard. Be nice. No, we're all friends here. Go ahead.
Yeah. You know, the nature of taxation is it's dictated by the state. By the state in the enabling legislation for bids, and the assessed value of determines who's going to be the controlling vote over 50% in the corporation. But that's not what's significant. That's not undemocratic by itself. That's just the way taxation works. Success floats all boats. Landlords need tenants to want to come, not to leave, to be replaced when they do leave. They need occupancy. That's residential and business. So success floats all boats. And it turns out that in order to succeed, you got to have clean streets and you got to have safety and all the other wonderful things you talked about, which we completely agree about. So I have a vision of what Rochester, downtown, I started working in downtown Rochester in 1972. And it was teeming with people. There wasn't a vacant storefront anywhere. Well, the world has changed. But there's a real come back now, as you say, without municipal assistance. It was organic, the new growth that's come back. And it needs reinforcing. For just giving an example, the city has to provide the same cleaning services, street sweeping, etc., picking up trash, etc., throughout the whole city, the neighborhoods and downtown. That means just once a day in the morning. That doesn't cut it downtown. There's just too many people there throwing trash on the street, etc. That particularly affects you. You got a dumpster in the apartment house at 270 on East that throws it. It says extra trash go in the street. And Pitkin Street's like a wind tunnel. It blows it right in front of your place on the park that Grove Place Association asked the city to create just across from you. The bid would provide that additional streets cleaning services. There's some $700,000 in the tentative budget that they circulated to reimburse the city for extra services that are needed downtown that aren't necessarily needed in neighborhoods. So I say success floats all boats. There's a common goal. And it's really too bad that small business owners weren't made aware of the fact that these are the services that could be provided. You know, for a tenant in a one- or a two-bedroom apartment, all these office buildings that have been converted to residential, if you do the arithmetic, the $2.7 million for the bid, that comes to $6 to $8 a month increase in rent. Well, that's not going to dispossess anyone. The services are clearly justify that. And for you, your little property, That'll be $300 to $400 a year in extra taxation. That's not going to put you out of business, and it's not going to raise the price of coffee. But it will provide not just the street cleaning I talked about, but common event planning, event structuring, and publicity to help make you succeed.
All right, so a couple of points for Richard here. Number one, what I hear you saying, and tell me if this is a correct description of it, Richard, when you say, look, one of the concerns was the bid was going to create something that was unduly weighted for the downtown district, for the downtown neighborhood, that would be unfair. What you're saying is with the population and the activity, it demands additional attention in different ways. And you talk about street sweeping as an example. And you're saying that's not undemocratic. That's the reality of what downtown is, and it needs more. And the bid would provide it, as one example.
That's right? Correct.
Okay. So that's not undemocratic. That's not unfair to the neighborhoods. You're saying the neighborhoods should get their services. They will get their services. Downtown needs something additional. The bid could provide that.
Can I interrupt you for one
yes,
second?
Mitch.
Just one second. I just want to make one comment on the undemocratic nature, because that is an argument I've heard plenty of times.
Sure.
I just want to make it clear that the existing bid that we have in Rochester, the High Falls bid, once a year, I think it's February or March, once a year has to come to City Council for public vote and approval on if their budget, if their new assessments are going to be passed or not. So I think the argument that the board that you're referring to is private and not public in nature is indisputable, but the democracy exists in the check and balance, where every year a majority of City Council has to vote publicly with anyone welcome to come to our meetings and look at the budget and say, this budget is good or this budget is not good. There's an annual check-in for that, which I think mitigates some of the anti-democratic argument. That's my opinion.
I don't know if it does. For Rory, does it?
from what I know, I mean, it's a yearly once upon a time check-in, but from what I understand of the board is that they can serve up to 3 terms in succession. And so that would, in I think it was 3-year terms, so three terms in succession, 3 at a time, so that's 9 years, and essentially probably a longer term than a lot of city council members take on. So I just think they're shaping more of the city than we realize and that we would understand.
Okay.
Which I understand that, and that has been explained to me, but I just don't think a private entity once a year check-in is the justice that we deserve as residents and business owners.
It's not a I mean, for the record, it's not a check-in. It's an approval of the budget, which I think is more than just a check-in. How are things going? It's looking at the dollars and cents and saying this is fair. We're all getting what we want for this, or we're not getting what we want for
right.
this. If at the end of the day, if the composition of the board is how you or others define what is democratic or privatized, then so be it. My belief is that we need to have governing systems with adequate checks and balances. I think an annual review of the budget, which is public, which has to be above board, and a conversation for everyone to look at the numbers and look at what the outputs are, to me feels like it maintains the democratic nature of what we all want for decision making. But again, it's a place where we probably disagree.
Yeah,
Richard, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Rory.
I just wanted to also. And I totally understand that and respect that. And I would just like to communicate that I think for an entity like that and also to communicate what Richard was saying about cleanliness and these tax revenues and things of this and raising that is that how many the bid and the developers that are really excited about this opportunity and really pushing that narrative is that there is a lot of vacancies downtown already that are empty. And I want to communicate that the ones that have stayed ultimately are the small business, locally owned operators that are there. The Dunkin' is gone. The Starbucks is gone. The Morton's is gone. So this allows us to lose faith in those corporate entities and the folks that are still there are, you know, the Javas and the folks that are really have been stakeholders for a very long time. And those are the folks that we should be asking input from and really supporting and gathering around. So, you know, like we get excited about these like opportunities, but like, you know, did Morton's get a tax break? Did these developers and folks like get, you know, a little leeway to build these things, and now they're empty. And so that's, you know, we lose faith in those things when they're happening.
Richard?
If there was agreement by small businesses such as you that the overall goal of having downtown safe, clean, interesting, full of trees, et cetera, is worth supporting, then why didn't you simply come before this, the RDDC, and say, you know, there's some details here we don't like, details like the three-year terms, et cetera.
Or how the board is composed.
Or how the board is composed. I think all those things could have been considered to be negotiable if there was buy-in to the fact that downtown will prosper and things will change for the better faster if it had these additional services. But you didn't do that.
I did talk to Galen Brooks one-on-one. So I did talk to her.
Oh, okay.
So okay. I did raise concerns and had a conversation with her after the surprise meeting that you kind of spun on me when you invited me to talk at the neighborhood group.
But I'm not getting involved in that.
But you know, what I'm really excited about, honestly, is the future of what this kind of like helped us organize as small business owners and folks locally is that, you know, we are organizing on our side and we're going to reestablish the East End Business Association so we can, you know, connect further with the neighborhoods around us and really kind of beyond the clean sweep once a year kind of thing, really push that narrative and really try to clean up our streets and really be a part of the neighborhood and connected and mentor each other as we grow.
So what I want to do, before we get to some listener feedback, which we'll do coming up here in just a second, I want to wrap up two other points here, because part of what I want to do in our remaining time is also ask, you know, now that we're at this point, where do you want to see us go next? I mean, Rory just kind of talked about that, and I think that's pivotal here. This is one of a series of conversations we will have about these issues that affect all of us, everybody, and no one will be excluded from this table in this studio. But I think what you're hearing from Rory and Richard in particular is where they disagreed and why, you know, some of those stumbling blocks, as Councilmember Gruber said, never got resolved. And you had dozens of small business owners who did not get on board. And the RDDC eventually decided, they kind of quitting on this particular effort, quit maybe a loaded word. They decided to abandon this effort and focus on other things. And it's been a long time since I've talked to Galen Brooks, and I would like to do that when I can. Is there something else you want to? Is that a fair description of it so far, Councilmember?
There's a lot more I want to say, but yes, that's okay. Yeah.
All right. One other point before we get to some listener feedback on this is the criticism that was particularly consistent from those who opposed the bid was often targeted on the proposed downtown ambassadors. So if you were for the bid, what you heard was, what you often described was, downtown ambassadors were people who could reach out and literally be individuals assigned with making everything better, safer, better communicated, better for everybody, cleaner. If you were concerned about it, like member of City Council Mary Lupien told WXXI and Brian Sharp a few weeks ago, that she saw the ambassadors program as not guides for visitors, but more of a means to clear the area of people who might scare white suburbanites. And, you know, that became a real point of heat. So, you know, I wonder, Roy, you didn't bring this up in your chief concerns. Was this on the list for you? What did you make of the idea of ambassadors?
I mean, I would say it's like low on my list, just because I think the best ambassadors for a city are small businesses. And I think those are the, like, at least for me and for our business, people visit us and they're like, what else can we do around here? Where should we go? And, you know, we're a directory for the city. You know, go to the Museum of Play, go to the, you know, whatever art galleries are open, UUU, that's, you know, they're having a jazz night on Monday nights, like, who, you know, any kind of sort of restaurant. And I understand that's insular and we're inside a space. Outside of a space, I think, you know, more than two people walking around, you need more than that. And what's better than that is the vibrancy of people just being out and about and doing things in an activity. And I could understand from a perspective like the shooing away or the, you know, this person, it doesn't have another place to go, so what do we do with them kind of mentality, and push them away from a downtown to make it look cleaner or safer.
And you were concerned that that could happen?
I think it could happen, yeah, okay. if we let that go. Like, and where does that stop? Where does that end?
Okay.
We don't know.
Richard Rosen, what do you think?
The draft plan that did not become finalized to actually go to council yet. Mary Lupien is not responding to the points that were in there. I was very concerned about this, too. I shared Rory's reservations. But the draft plan said they've got to be city residents. That means they're not going to be retired police officers, all who happen to live in the suburbs, not the city proper.
That's a really interesting point.
Yeah, go ahead. Yes. And that they would be sourced from neighborhood benefit associations, from the existing social service organizations we have that operate in the neighborhoods around downtown. So you could wind up with college students, MCC students, and high school students who are of the same ethnicity and all as those who supposedly give an impression of downtown that might make white suburbanites uncomfortable. And it would be a friendly encounter kind of thing. It would be a supportive one to redirect those individuals who are either strung out or homeless or whatever to the services they need. This, I think RDDC did a good job at addressing those things. And Mary's quotation really is reflected to the first iteration of this.
Councilmember Gruber.
I think that the ambassador initiative and the bid have to be considered separate and distinct. It actually came up through my committee, the ambassador initiative, the finance committee. And I held it and eventually told RDDC that it wasn't going to come out of committee, because what they were arguing at the time was this was going to be, they came to our council meetings and said, I think this was back in August, September, they said this is going to be proof of concept for the bid. And that's maybe clearly how some people felt, but proof of concept is having a finalized plan and the support of both the property holders, the business owners, and labor. So I said, if you want an ambassador initiative, as Richard said, it's in the plan, fine. But first you have to jump the hurdle of actually getting a bid approved. And I think they heard that loud and clear. It never came back again, and they abandoned the project. So I think the criticisms of the ambassador program are perfectly valid. I'm not going to criticize anyone for why they criticized it. I think the bigger issue, though, is RDDC could not go about doing proof of concept for something before they could actually get the support of the constituents of the bid. They just put the cart before the horse is the issue there.
Last thing before we break, and then I'll get some phone calls and emails.
Can I say one more thing before,
absolutely.
Before that?
Yeah, go ahead.
Totally separate from this. I want to make sure this point doesn't get lost. One, as you and I have talked about this a million times before, one of my biggest concerns about this community, when we really talk about equity, and I think in some ways, even when we talk about democracy, is that our institutions of higher education are some of the largest in terms of how much money they have and how much money they spend, and it so rarely goes to public good. This plan, the thing that if you were going to ask me if I was a bid supporter, I would still say, show me the plan before I can tell you what I support or not. But what I definitely support as a concept was a plan where the University of Rochester pays in along with everyone else. The developers, the business owners, they were going to pay the same rate that every other entity was. There was no nonprofit exemption for this bid as it relates to the draft plan. So that means all the property around Eastman, that giant parcel where they have fringe every year, I forget what it's called, that the U of R owns and continues to sit on, use as parking for Eastman, all of that would have been assessed, and they would have to have paid in at the same rate that any private developer would. And to me, one of the, like, I'm glad that I see Rory being optimistic about what this did for small businesses getting together and thinking about, like, how do we take action ourselves? But we don't get places like the U of R and RIT, by the way, who owns the old First Savings Bank, right on Liberty Pole, or Brockport, which owns REOC. You don't get institutions of higher ed to pay in for public good unless there is a reason for them to be compelled to do so. So I'm concerned that this is one of the issues that gets kind of glossed over, but this was an opportunity. They were around the table. I mean, I never got to see them vote, because that was going to be the next step eventually, was having a vote of property holders. But every sense I got was that all of the major property holders, which includes the University of Rochester, were largely supportive of this. And it's just, it's too bad that we had a chance to capture some dollars from these institutions that very rarely share it with the public. And now I don't know how we return to getting that.
Are you, you're a critic overall of the exemptions that higher ed gets?
I'm a critic of organizations that have billions of dollars in an endowment not paying property taxes. Yes.
Okay.
I've said that on the show, and I've written op-eds, but, and I'll say it again.
But why would they have eventually, as some of the property owners who would have been at this table, that, you know, Rory's concerned, and Rory is concerned, many people were concerned about a concentration of power among property holders. Why would they have voted for a plan where they're paying more?
My sense is because there was years of discussion, and they had agreed that there was benefit at least to Eastman students, which is literally in the footprint of the bid, that there was enough value for them to want to pay into it. Now, again, you'd have to get a public statement from them because they never had a chance to vote yes or no. They were going to have to, along with every other property owner, if this went to the next level. But every indication I heard was that they were largely supportive of the concept.
Should any future plan, bid or not, push these institutions to pay more on property taxes?
You can't force them to pay on property taxes.
I know that because of the IRS. They've got legal exemptions.
But there, most private universities with financial levels that the University of Rochester are in are paying money towards public work somehow through a pilot agreement, through a service agreement in other cities, and that continues to be something that I push very much behind the scenes, because there's no form to do it publicly. But you ever want to invite me back to have that conversation, I'm happy to do it.
All right, we are way late. We've got to take our only break. We'll come back some of your feedback on this, then we're going to wrap by asking our guests where their vision on going forward is post this iteration of a bid, a business improvement district in downtown Rochester. Coming up in our second hour, a conversation with a member of the New York City Mayor's Office. The Executive Director of the New York City Mayor's Office of Urban Agriculture joins us. We're talking about the impact of urban farming, urban agriculture, food growing in cities and places where it didn't often grow before, and what the barriers are for that to happen in more cities. That's next hour. This is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Mark is asking if the killing of this bid plan means, could there be a new bid plan proposed for downtown, or does this foreclose on any bid in downtown in the future? I don't think it forecloses on anything. But it doesn't sound like RDDC has the energy or the wherewithal to get going on this.
Can I take a quick swing at that?
Yes.
So there's a very long, arduous public process for a bid, and the first step is an entity has to get approval from council to do the planning. Then they have to go get the support of the property owners. Then they have to go do all this stuff that comes with it. RDDC had done the work of getting that first vote cleared. If anyone wanted to start it again, they'd have to go through that process from the beginning, which, you know, I think all told is probably a 2-year process, and it wouldn't just come out of the blue.
Okay. Mark, hope that answers that. Lisa says, I so appreciate that XXI is having this discussion. This issue appears emblematic of many decisions that need to be made in our community. WXXI often fills the void, adding more perspectives to a decision-making process that curates discussions to the point that there often feels like a predetermined outcome. The bid discussion may have failed due to following an old model of Rochester decision-making, where a group of those with development and capital power are preordained to decide for the rest of us what will happen. They have largely acted like they know best and don't need to really engage with those they consider without the know-how or ability to contribute. Small business owners are often treated like interesting local color that is cream on top of the sundae. But those who know will decide amongst themselves what is in the sundae. I fear that the same will happen with the Riverway programming, privatizing what are really economic and building development decisions in our neighborhoods with no neighborhood and resident involvement or decision making. Councilmember Gruber, do you share any of those concerns about the Riverway?
Well, I don't know who's going to be programming. I mean, the whole idea, as you said from the beginning, was this was supposed to be an entity to program the Riverway. I'm certainly concerned about a lack of programming. I think to Rory's point, I'm sure that a lot of small business owners will get together and do some interesting things. I just want to make one point about the programming piece. One of the things that I think we did the best infrastructure-wise in the last 5 years is the skate park.
Woo-hoo.
I think the skate park is beautiful. I think the skate park does so much good for this community. And we're about to put in phase 2 and phase 3. Which I don't know if that's public to everyone yet, but it is. It's happening. And phase two and phase three will include more seating. It'll include concessions and an elongation extension of the actual infrastructure itself. One of the ideas of this was skateboarding is an Olympic sport, right? Let's start to actually go out and get competitions. Let's create a world-class infrastructure, get competitions. I guess my question is, who is responsible at this point for trying to go solicit national events to come here? Friends of the Skate Park, I think, do a remarkable job. They are an all-volunteer organization. I don't know how they can go out and be competitive when other places are going to have professionals doing this particular work to elicit competition. So to the caller's point, I don't want to overly privatize and keep out the community, but I also don't want to not be competitive for things like a national skateboarding competition to be here. And we have to find the middle ground somewhere.
Okay. Rory, anything you want to add to that email?
I think, you know, adding a skate park was the best thing that Rochester could have done in downtown Rochester. You know, you look around there now, you know, it took 2 decades to do it. It was a very long, arduous effort. And as someone that has started skateboarding in 1993, you know, like, I'm super excited and was there at the ground floor. And, you know, shout out to all those folks that put that energy into it. I will say that as a small business owner, I can't tell you how many emails, phone calls, check-ins I get to ask to open another Ugly Duck Coffee because developers have a vision of what they want. Not what the community wants, not what the neighborhood wants, but what they want to be built, what they think should go there. So I think that tells me a lot, that they aren't necessarily in touch with the neighborhood, the community that they are buying buildings in.
But they're in touch with trying to stay in business, right?
Yeah, they're in touch with trying to stay in business, and there's ways to do that.
But what I mean by that is, I mean, they're not probably pursuing Ugly Duck if they think the community doesn't want it.
Maybe, maybe not. But
you're saying they shouldn't be the arbiter of what the community wants.
They shouldn't have this grand plan before anything is in there. They should be thinking about, okay, if I'm going to buy this building, yeah, that's, you know, like any business owner, you have to have a business plan. And you can't say, well, this is going to be a coffee shop, this is going to be this, and this is going to be this. You know, like downtown, like, let's add another coffee shop that, you know, you have Roco, you have, you know, the new Boulder that just opened at the Hyatt, you know, that replaced. Like, you can't just put another one there and think like, okay, this is going to be great. This is going to be added value to our residents upstairs, our businesses right here. Everyone's going to come together. Like, it's not about always them and their vision. It's about, like, you got to let people in, and that helps with equity. It's like lowering that barrier of entry to allow the flourish of color in the community to be represented.
Richard, anything you want to add there?
Yeah, Rock the Riverway really needs kind of professional, world-class expertise of people, of consulting firms who have done this before, designers, etc. Let's go back. The high point of downtown Rochester was when the Main Street Bridge was full of little shops. And so there was one downtown, east and west, and the river in the middle. At the present, it's no one's going to want to cross the river. Broad Street, phony canal, Main Street, nothing. There's just no way there's going to be any pedestrian traffic going from east to west because it's boring. And the Rock the River Way is being developed as in a total vacuum of understanding the urban context that it's in and the problem that our bifurcated downtown has, which is new, which it didn't have until 70 years ago. And with that kind of professionalism brought into it, throwing out ideas, the Rock the Riverway might take a very, very different direction. It may turn out that a top priority would be that the bikeway and walkway should actually go underneath the railroad at the right point and connect the river to the new High Falls Park that the state is building just north of downtown to create the synergy of a major attraction with a major attraction of downtown. That's not even on the book. Oh, we can't cross the railroad. It's much too expensive. This lacks planning. It lacks vision. And I'd hate to see Rock the Riverway just immediately go into the hands of people who might be able to have little businesses in it. They're going to be essential. But unfortunately, they don't have the breadth of experience of world-class urban planners who have done fabulous things with cities. We're shooting much too low.
Let me get back to your phone calls. Kelly in Rochester. Hi, Kelly.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Kelly Cheadle. I just wanted to call in with a fact check regarding the cleaning, the additional cleaning for downtown. The $750,000 that was in the RDDC budget actually already exists because downtown has a downtown enhancement district that is paid for by supplemental taxes that provides 11 unionized workers to provide additional cleaning downtown. So that's something that is already happening that could be expanded potentially. And I also wanted to point out that the skate park was an effort that spanned, like Rory mentioned, at least 20 years of community advocating for something that they wanted and they needed. And I have to say it's probably the most successful aspect of the Rock the Riverway program because it facilitated something that the community asked for. So I appreciate the opportunity to hear from everyone. And I also agree that our universities need to be good neighbors and pitch in on the services that they share with us, and look forward to talking about this more.
So yeah, thank you.
Not really a question, but thank you.
Yeah, no, thank you, Kelly. I appreciate that. So on this point that Kelly is making, acknowledging that, hey, okay, if downtown needs more services, cleaning, et cetera, there already exists a model outside of a bid to address that. It can be expanded. You don't need a bid for that. What do you think, Richard?
She's right.
That was easy. Councilmember Gruber?
Yeah, I mean, the idea of expanding it just means that there's more dollars spent in the city budget on it. And this, the idea of the bid was to be able to attract outside dollars to add to it. And given where we are with the city budget on an annual basis, where we typically start with about a $30 million budget gap that we're trying to fill, it's hard to imagine that we would have any substantial dollars added to that. And again, I would reference that phone calls I talked about earlier in the program, where I have business owners who do regularly call me downtown saying they need some help with trash pickup. There's not enough of it. It's not sufficient. And that's with the $750,000 that currently exists. So, look, could we expand it? Sure. Am I going to continue to advocate for more dollars spent on our DES workers, our environmental services workers, being downtown and working on beautifying downtown? Absolutely. Is it the same as getting the University of Rochester to pitch in actual a decent chunk of money every year because they have agreed to participate in a formal body that assesses their value and taxes them accordingly? No. And we can't do that. I cannot just add a tax to the U of R and have them pay it. That would end up in a lawsuit and we would lose. So it's easy to say we can expand it. It's less easy to actually do it. I would also say to the caller that, yes, the skate park was an incredible, I mean, the skate park, no ifs, ands, or buts, was made by the people who advocated for 20 years. I'm not arguing that point. My concern is our ability to go be competitive to host national competitions here. Now, some may say, who cares? Why do we need to host national competitions here? It should be for the people of Rochester. And I say that's a fair argument. I would love to see national skateboarding competitions. I'd love to walk my kids by and see world-class national skateboarders doing stuff and tourists coming here and spending money. That seems like a good thing to me. I'm not saying we can't do it without the bid. I'm not saying the bid would have been successful at doing it. What I am saying is at this point where we are right now, I don't know who does it.
Final about 30 seconds, Rory. What do you want to see happen next year? Now we're kind of post this iteration of the bid. What's on your menu?
I mean, organizing and getting together with the East End Business Association, formalizing that, figuring that out, whether that's just us meeting, mentoring, discussing things and doing some small things along the way. But building that coalition, you know, like, really just trying to engage in that way, being good neighbors, and just lifting each other up a little bit more and looking out for each other. I think, you know, the way we can, you know, make our neighborhood safer is, you know, is say hello, you know, recognize people for who they are. If someone's struggling, check in on them and not see them as someone less than, like, you know, there's folks that need help and we can do that.
Richard. Final thoughts, briefly. Go ahead.
Building upon the terrific optimism that Rory has, that he and his colleagues are going to be able to pull off through alternative means, my charge is to the city to think big, think much bigger. I think Rock the Riverway will be a big waste of money in terms of what it does for downtown and tourism in general, unless it gets some really innovative kind of thinking in there, which I'm not capable of doing, and I don't know if anyone locally is. Not that they haven't, not that they've been asked.
Okay, but post bid, you want the city to think big.
Yes.
Okay, 30 seconds. Go ahead, Mitch.
I think that we are in this country right now. We have this idea that we struggle to build things. In particular, there's an argument that liberal cities struggle to build things. And I just hope we can build something. Anyone who says downtown is functioning the way it should function right now, I just can't believe that that's true. We know what downtown's could be like. We've seen what downtown looks like here when it was thriving and it worked. We need to build something. What that is, let people like Rory and Richard tell us as a city to do, but let's just build something.
Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Mitch Gruber is a member of Rochester City Council, and I want to thank Rory Van Grohl. You'll find Rory most waking hours at Ugly Duck Coffee. Well, when it's open, and probably right after it closes. Hey, thank you for being here. Where is Ugly Duck for people who've never seen you?
89 Charlotte Street. And no, Evan, we're not opening a second shop right now.
I have a place up in Shalott where I live. Shalott needs an Ugly Duck. I'll have a developer call you. Thank you. Richard Rosen, a retired architect and the outgoing president of Grove Neighbors Association?
Grove Place Association.
Grove Place. Hey, I know you're very happy over there. I appreciate your time. Thank you for being here.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
All right. More connections coming up.